الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. Continue our reading كتاب التوحيد الذي هو حق الله على العبيد by the great scholar Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala. Been in our previous classes reading from the chapter Babun Fadl al-Tawheed wa ma yukaffiru min al-dhunub, the chapter with regards to the virtue of at-tawheed and its expiation of sins. We have read the verse that the author has mentioned and a narration, and we continue reading the narrations. The author, he mentioned ولهما في حديث عتبان فإن الله حرم على النار من قال لا إله إلا الله يبتغي بذلك وجه الله. The narration of Utban ibn Malik al-Ansari radiyallahu anhu. He mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that verily Allah has made impermissible حرم على النار, made the fire impermissible for the one who says لا إله إلا الله, seeking the face of Allah with that. Seeking the face of Allah, and with this statement, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَ عَلَى النَّارِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's made the fire haram for this individual, and He prohibiting the fire from touching him or from harming him for the one who says لا إله إلا الله يَبْتَغِي بِذَلِكَ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ, that he is seeking the face of Allah with this statement, seeking and hoping for the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this statement, meaning sincerely doing it for the sake of Allah alone with ikhlas and hoping that he will be of those who earn the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal and into the paradise of Allah Azza wa Jal and get to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's doing it hoping to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَبْتَغِي بِذَلِكَ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ, he made the statement in this manner. Utban ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, that great companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-Ansari, from the Ansar. It's been mentioned that he used to lead his people in Salah. He used to lead his people in Salah, and then he lost his eyesight, or it weakened. And his eyesight, he lost his eyesight radiallahu anhu, and he had requested from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come to his house and to pray in his house and take a spot in his house so the Prophet would pray there, and then he used that place as a musalla, so he could pray in his home. Because he mentioned that sometimes, or that he used to lead his people in prayer, and then after he lost his eyesight, it became difficult for him to go to lead the people in prayer sometimes. So he requested for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to come to his house and to pray two rak'ah in a place in his house, and then after that he could take that place as a musalla. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he agreed to his companion. Utban ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, and he came with Abu Bakr and Umar and some of his companions radiyallahu anhum jami'an, and he prayed in the house of Utban in the corner or in an area of his house, two rak'ah. And then after that, Utban, he refused that they leave except that he would feed them. So he kept them and he fed them food. And some of the people in the neighborhood, they also joined in on the food. And they're discussing the issues, and the mention of a man came up, and one of them said, إِنَّهُ munafiq. Whenever he heard that man's name, he said, verily that man's a hypocrite. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he heard them saying this, and he said, don't say that. Don't you see that he says, لا إله إلا الله يريد بذلك الله, that he wants to, he said it sincerely for the sake of Allah. Don't say that, yani about somebody. And then they said that we only say that about him because that we see him always heading towards the hypocrites, and we see him always giving his vice and speaking with the hypocrites. And then at this time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned this narration. He said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَ عَلَى النَّارِ مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ يَبْتَغِي بِذَلِكَ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ, that verily Allah azza wa jal, he made it impermissible for the fire to touch him or to burn him, made the fire impermissible, حَرَّمَ, تحريم المنع, and then who prohibit the fire from him, the one who says لا إله إلا الله, seeking the face of Allah عز وجل with this, seeking the face of Allah عز وجل with this. So we see that there's a great condition attached to that statement, for that statement to be beneficial, and for that statement to have value, and for that statement to have weight, and for that statement to be established and upright properly, that statement of it tawheed, that it must be done in this manner. And saying يَبْتَغِي بِذَلِكَ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ, that a person, he would hope for the to see the face of Allah Azza wa Jal. He would say it sincerely, hoping for the face of Allah Azza wa Jal, and to see Allah Azza wa Jal, hoping for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the one who says it in this manner, then this strong faith will prohibit him from falling into sins. The person who is desiring something, he is hoping for something, and he is striving to achieve a goal, and he has his hopes for that goal, and he wants to meet that goal in this life, in this dunya, this person, he will not let anything get in his way, and he will overcome anything and anything that would deter him from his goal and stop him from reaching his goal and the thing that he desires. Yani bughyata, whatever he is hoping for and trying to get, anything that would deter him from that, he will leave it and he will avoid it. And he will be focused and he will try to get to that goal in the best and the safest and the fastest way, in the easiest way. Because he's hoping and desiring that thing. He wants it. He desires to obtain it. His hopes are for this outcome. This is the case. So he will avoid every obstacle in the path to reach his goal. This is in the dunya. This is in the dunya. So the one likewise who has this, he has this ibtigha and this irada and this niyya that he wants to meet Allah Azza wa Jalla when he's pleased with him, that he wants to see the face of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he said this statement in this manner, then this is the one that has the strong iman, the iman that will benefit him. And this is the one who made that statement with sincere faith, and that sincere faith that will protect him from any actions that will lead him away from his goal, from any actions that will lead him away from the paradise, from the actions of disobedience and the statements of disobedience and the likes like this. So this is the one who made this statement strong, because we see that in our previous classes it's become clear, and this is well known from the creed of Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah, that the people, the Muslimun and Muwahidun, those who single out Allah Azza wa Jal alone in worship, those Muslims that have Tawheed, they are in two states and two conditions in the hereafter. There are those that enter the paradise directly because of that shahada and because of their sincerity and their truthfulness and that strong faith that produced the great fruits of actions pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal, and that prohibited them from falling into the actions and statements that are displeasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. By His mercy, they lived in this manner, and these are the ones that enter the paradise immediately without any punishment or without any reckoning. The author, he has a chapter, inshallah, is coming with regards to the reality of that, the one who actualized it at Tawheed, man haqqaq at Tawheed. Naam. But then the other condition or state of the Muslims, those Muslims that likewise they died upon Tawheed, so they have the promise of Allah Azza wa Jal that they will enter the paradise, but they're not safe from the threat of the fire. Those who had the foundation of Tawheed and they did not make any major shirk, but they died upon sins, major sins or transgression, with their tongue or with their hands or with their eyes or with their feet or with their hearts. In this manner, they died upon major sin, or they died upon continuously persisting upon sin, then this one, he's under the will of Allah Azza wa Jalla. If Allah wills, He will forgive him and enter him into paradise with His mercy and His grace along with those who enter in the beginning. Or if Allah Azza wa Jal, He wills, He will punish them. He will punish them in the fire. Some of them will be punished for a long time and some of them will be punished briefly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best the outcome of these individuals. But it has been narrated and it has come authentically on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In narrations, the ulama, they say mutawatira. There's no doubt about their authenticity. Then the people from At-Tawheed, some of them will enter the fire. Some of them will enter the fire and they will come out. And the narrations have come, the narrations of the Shafa'ah, the narration of the intercession, and the mention of some of the people be in the hellfire until they turn to black like coal, and then they will come out and be sprinkled in the rivers of Jannah, and they'll be brought to life. And the narrations of the last of the Muslims to come out of the hellfire, and the way that he comes out of the hellfire, and he's taken out of the fire, and then he's still close to it, then he's turned away from it, then he's brought near to the Jannah, then to the door of the Jannah, then he's entered into Jannah. All of these narrations indicating this great creed and belief that there will be Muslims that enter the hellfire. So this is the correct belief, that not every Muslim that he says La ilaha illallah, he's safe. If he did not actualize and he did not make that statement with sincerity and with certainty and with truthfulness and with complying to what it necessitates and accepting that entirely and following that and what it necessitates. The one who makes that statement, La ilaha illallah, then he will give preference to everything that Allah loves over what he loves, and that's the condition of La ilaha illallah, that he loves what Allah loves more than what he loves, and that he loves Allah, who Allah loves, and he loves for the sake of Allah, and he gives preference to what Allah loves, any of his commandments over what his soul commands, or what any of his family commands, or anything in this dunya, what he desires. So he gives preference over that because of his strong love for Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the one who has actualized the tawheed, and this is the one who has brought this statement in the manner which is correct and upright, and this is the one that has the promise that he will not be punished in the hellfire or in the hereafter. As for the one who tainted his soul and weakened his iman, and he has brought deficiency into his tawheed by way of sins that are less than shirk, that are less than major shirk, then this one, his tawheed and his shahada will not be strong enough and will not have that weight in the scale to protect him from the threat of Allah Azza wa Jal and to protect him from the fire of Allah Azza wa Jal if Allah wills to punish him. If Allah wills to punish him. So this understanding is a must to understand these narrations. Although the author, the point for mentioning these narrations that we have read previously likewise, and the ayat that we have read in this chapter, they all indicate the virtue of Tawheed. And there's no doubt about that. But a believer, he will not be deceived by that. Rather, he will understand the reality of that. But from the great proof of these narrations, what the author is mentioning, the great virtue of Tawheed is that whoever has it, he's promised the paradise. He's promised the paradise, even if it's weak. There's narrations, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned in the Shafa'ah that it'll be said, take out whoever said La ilaha illallah and he had a mustard grain of faith in his heart, take him out of the fire. Take him out of the fire. So these narrations, as the author has intended, they indicate the great virtue of Tawheed. But at the same time, a believer, he will not be deceived. He will not be deceived, and he will not rely upon his statement without producing the actions and the fruits. And he will not just make this statement and then follow his whims and his desires into the wilderness and the darkness of disobedience and sin. Like this, after this narration in Sahih Muslim, as the author mentioned, La wa lahuma, yani Bukhari and Muslim. In Sahih Muslim, one of the narrators of hadith, he mentioned a great comment after this narration. He narrated this hadith, and his name is Muhammad ibn Shihab al-Zuhri, one of the great narrators of hadith, and he died in the year 124. He said at the end of this narration, he said, وَثُمَّ نَزَلَتْ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ فَرَائِضُ وَأُمُورُ نَرَى أَنَّ الْأَمْرَ انْتَهَى إِلَيْهَا فَمَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ لَا يَغْتَرَّ فَلَا يَغْتَرَّ. He said, Rahimahullah ta'ala, that after this narration, there were obligations that have been revealed. And likewise, there are other affairs that have been revealed. And we see that the affair, it came to this. And meaning that this, and then he said, so whoever is able to not be deceived, then he should not be deceived. Meaning that this is not to understand that it would be sufficient that a person just made this statement, but rather he has to have the actions and the conduct to follow up with that. And in reality, we see that the speech that is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal and the actions that are pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal, this is the testification of the authenticity and the truthfulness of the statement of that person and the strength of that statement in his heart. Because if that statement is strong and that belief is strong and deeply rooted in his heart, then it will produce the actions that are in accordance. It will produce the actions that are in accordance. Now, we read some benefit from Shaykh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala. He says, meaning, من قالها عن إخلاص وصدق ومات عليها أدخله الله الجنة فإن كانت له ذنوب ومعاصي لم يتوب منها فهو تحت مشيئة الله تعالى ولكن من قالها ابتغاء وجه الله عن صدق وإخلاص كامل فإنه لا يسر على السيئات فإن إخلاصه الكامل وإيمانه الكامل يمنعه من الإصرار على السيئات ويمنعه من الإقامة على المعاصي فحينئذ يدخل الجنة من أول وهلة بسبب إيمانه الصادق وتقواه لله وقيامه بحقه. نعم، لكن من لطخ توحيده بالمعاصي والسيئات فهذا تحت مشيئة الله كما دل عليه قوله تعالى إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء. Shaykh Ibn Baz, he mentioned rahimahullah ta'ala about this statement, whoever says La ilaha illallah, hoping for the and desiring the face of Allah sincerely, then Allah will make the fire impermissible for him. Meaning that whoever said it with ikhlas, sincerity, with truthfulness, sidq, and he died upon that. He died upon that. This is a very important point, because somebody may say this, and this is something that it is frightening, and is something that a person of tawheed will be afraid of. Even a person of ikhlas, he will be afraid of, because as he mentioned here, the one who said that bil ikhlas wa sidqi wa mata ala dharika wa mata alayha, he died in that manner. Because some people, maybe they'll say that statement in the beginning of their life, or in the beginning of their Islam, or after they have been given success to repent sometime in their life, and they said that statement with sincerity and truthfulness, and they said it with honesty, truthfulness, and with belief, strong certainty in Allah Azza wa Jalla and His promise, and they wiped out their sins at this time, and they have strong iman at this time. But then later on, because of their desires, they become weak, and they started falling weak in their iman because of their surroundings, and because of their company, and because of the trials of life, and they did not check their soul, and rather they left their soul to lead them into sins, and then they died upon that. This is the one that has that other outcome. This is the one that he made that statement, but he did not die upon that statement. He made that statement, it was strong at one time, and then he tainted that statement, and he weakened that statement, and his shahada is not established like it was at that time because of the sins that he has committed, and because of the transgression that he has perpetrated against the limits of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So this person, he has not promised that safety and security, that complete safety and security from the punishment and the threat of the fire. But he still, as long as he died upon the tawheed, he is promised the safety from abiding in the fire for eternity. Now, so this is a very important point. Man mata alayha adkhalallahu jannah. And he died upon that. He died upon that sincerity and ikhlas, making that statement. He said, because if he had sins, if he had sins and actions of disobedience and he did not repent yet, then he is under the will of Allah Azza wa Jalla. But as for the one who said this statement, and he is hoping and desiring the face of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he said this statement upon truthfulness and complete sincerity, then this person, he will never persist upon sins. The one who said it in this manner, he is truthful. He said, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, like this, and he's truthful, and that's strong in his heart, and he's sincere, and he says that hoping for the promise of Allah Azza wa Jalla of paradise. Hoping for the promise of Allah Azza wa Jalla to see him, hoping for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and being afraid of the anger of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. This right here will stop him in his tracks before he sins, before he follows his whims, before he follows his desires, and before he takes money unlawfully. Rather, he'll think first. Before he looks, he'll lower his gaze quickly. Like this, and this is the manner of this type of person that has this statement upon truthfulness and sincerity, strong faith. Nami said, as for this person, then he will never persist upon sins, because فَإِنَّ إِخْلَاصَهُ الْكَامِلُ وَإِيمَانَهُ الْكَامِلُ يَمْنَعُهُ مِنَ الْإِصْرَارِ عَلَى السَّيِّئَاتِ. Because his complete sincerity and his strong complete faith, it prohibits him from persisting upon sins. If he committed sin, he will hurry up and turn back. The people of At-Tawheed and the people of strong faith, they are not safe from sins. Naam? But they do not persist while they know. They do not persist while they know. They fall short. Maybe they forget. Maybe they fall short. And the life's like this, but then they hurry up and repent to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And the time between these sins become fewer, and these sins become fewer, and the weight of these sins become less. But they still, no believer will be safe from sin. So we shouldn't take that wrong, like he never sins, but rather he sins. But it will be lesser and it will be fewer. Even if he fell into a major sin, the one with his strong iman will cause him to have regret and remorse immediately. He will have regret and remorse immediately, and he will feel bad, and he will have regret in his heart. Yeah, he's feeling terrible at what he has done, knowing that he has transgressed the limits, knowing that his Lord knows what he has done, and he knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not pleased with that, and he has remorse like this. In this manner, he lives in this way. So we see, he says that the one who has this sincere faith and the strong, complete iman, it will prohibit him from persisting upon sins. It will prohibit him from persisting upon sins. Even if he fell into it, he would hurry up and he would retract. He would hurry up and he would repent. He would hurry up and have remorse and leave off that sin because of his iman in his heart. Because of his iman in his heart. Nami says, يَمْنَعُهُ مِنَ الْإِقَامَةِ عَلَى الْمَعَاسِي, that his iman and his sincerity, it prohibits him from being steadfast upon disobedience. فَحِينَئِذٍ يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ مِنْ أَوَّلِ وَهْلَةٍ. So this type of person, he'll enter paradise in the very beginning because of his true iman, because of his sincere faith, and because of his piety for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, and because he وَقِيَامِهِ بِحَقِّهِ, because he has established the right of Allah Azza wa Jal. He has established the right of Allah Azza wa Jal. As for the one, Shaykh Ibn Baz, he mentioned Rahimahullah Ta'ala, again, and using this term, as for the one who tainted his tawheed, who spoiled or soiled his tawheed, يعني لطخ توحيده بالمعاصي, he has tainted it with disobedience and with sins, then this person, he's under the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is what the statement of Allah has indicated, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ, that verily Allah, He does not forgive that partners are set up with Him or rivals are set up with Him in worship, but He forgives that which is less than that to whom He wills. That which is less than that to whom He wills. So we see here the one who has less than shirk. He has major sins, less than shirk, major shirk. Then Allah forgives that to whom He wills. To whom He wills. So this person, he will be under the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. The one who dies upon major sins or upon persistence upon sin. This is the proper understanding of these narrations. And this is the obligation of a believer to understand these narrations in this light and not to misunderstand the narrations, the misunderstanding of the murji'ah, or not to misunderstand the other, on the other hand, the narrations, the misunderstanding of the khawarij and the mu'tazila, but rather the understanding that is correct is in between the two. And this will be by looking at all of the texts and taking all of the text in this regard into consideration. Not just looking at the text of the promise of paradise for whoever says La ilaha illallah. And not just looking at the text of the threat of the fire for whoever commits sins. But rather looking at all of the texts and then in the light of all of them. And then after that, having the conclusion and the understanding and the proper ruling. And that we see that after all of these texts that have come consecutively, authentically, that no Muslim would doubt about their authenticity, that this is the correct creed. That whoever states the statement La ilaha illallah, and he is a person of tawheed, and he stayed away from major shirk until he died, then he has the promise of Allah Azza wa Jal to be in paradise. After that, the issue goes to his tawheed. Was it strong? Did it produce the fruits? Did he stay away from the prohibitions of Allah Azza wa Jal and fulfill the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal? If so, then he's promised to enter paradise with those who enter in the beginning. If not, and he had some shortcomings and he fell short in performing the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal, or if he perpetrated some of the prohibitions of Allah Azza wa Jal, then this one, he's under the Mashiach of Allah. He's under the Mashiach of Allah. So then we can summarize it again. The people, the Muslims, the Muwahidun, the people of Tawheed, there are two categories in the hereafter. Who can remind us who they are?
Yeah. The ones who enter paradise without any reckoning, and the second ones who have to receive punishment before they enter into paradise.
Ascent. It would be like this. There are two categories. The first category, those who enter paradise without any reckoning because of their strong faith and because their testification of Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, the Shahada an la ilaha illallah was strong. The Shahada Muhammad Rasulullah was strong, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they brought the rights and they fulfilled the rights of these statements and what these statements necessitate from the beautiful and good actions and deeds and from the pleasing speech and statement to Allah Azza wa Jal and from leaving off the sins and actions of disobedience. This one, he's promised the paradise from the very beginning. Then from this group here, there are those who fulfill these commandments and stay away from these prohibitions and suffice with that. And then after that, there are those who compete in doing the good deeds later on after that. No, not only did they fulfill the commandment to stay away from the prohibitions, but they competed in earning the pleasure of Allah and gaining the pleasure of Allah. And they competed for the high ranks in paradise by not only fulfilling the commandments, but likewise doing the raga'ib wal-mustahabat, the deeds that are encouraged and the deeds that are not obligatory, but they are actions of goodness that are beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal. The non-obligatory salah, the non-obligatory fasting, the non-obligatory charity, the non-obligatory actions of goodness and kindness to the neighbors and to the relatives and to the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. So then these people, they have status. وَلِكُلِّنْ دَرَجَاتُ مِمَّا عَمِلُوا. Each one of them, they have ranks and they have statuses. Likewise, those who died upon Tawheed, those Muslims who had Tawheed, but they had sins and they had deficiency in their Tawheed because of their sins and because of following their whims and their desires into the actions of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are under the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. They're under the ulama, they say they're under the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. So we won't say that they are the ones who will be punished in the fire, but rather we say, and what is the correct statement, is that they are the ones who are threatened with the punishment of the fire, because they will be under the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَا يَشَاءُ, that He forgives to whomever He wills other than that. So these people that die upon sin, they're deserving of punishment. But if Allah wills, He will forgive them. And if Allah wills, He will punish them. So they will be under the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. They will be under the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. If Allah wills, He will forgive them. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah forgives whomever He wills from His mercy and from His grace. Or if He wills, He will punish them for according to their sins, for based upon His justice. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the case, and this is the understanding of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The author, he mentioned now, he says, وَعَنْ أَبِي سَعِيدٍ الْخُدْرِي رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ أَنَّهُ قَالَ قَالَ مُوسَى يَا رَبِّ عَلِّمْنِي شَيْئًا أَذْكُرُكَ وَأَدْعُوكَ بِهِ قَالَ قُلْ يَا مُوسَى لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ قَالَ كُلُّ عِبَادِكَ يَقُولُونَ هَذَا قَالَ قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ قَالَ يَا رَبِّ كل عبادك يقولون هذا قال يا موسى لو أن السماوات السبع وعامرهن غيري والأراضين السبع في كفة ولا إله إلا الله في كفة مالت بهن لا إله إلا الله رواه ابن حبان والحاكم وصححه وللترمذي وحسنه عن أنس رضي الله عنه سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول قال الله تعالى يا ابن آدم لو أتيتني بقراب الأرض خطايا ثم لقيتني لا تشرك بي شيئا لأتيتك بقرابها مغفرة. The narration of Abu Sa'id, the author, he mentioned, رضي الله عنه, that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said that Musa said, O my Lord, teach me something that I can mention you with and call on you with, and he supplicate to you with. أذكرك وأدعوك به. And then he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Musa, O Musa, say la ilaha illallah. And Musa, he mentioned alayhi salam, verily all of your servants say la ilaha illallah. So he said, say la ilaha illallah. And so Allah azza wa jal, he told him that, O Musa, لو أن السماوات السبع وعامرهن غيري. He said that if the seven heavens and the inhabitants of these heavens other than me and the seven earths were all in one cup of the scale, one hand of the scale, and la ilaha illallah was in the other, then la ilaha illallah would outweigh the heavens and the earth and everything therein. Narrated by Ibn Hibban wa Hakim wa Sahaha. And likewise, he mentioned the narration of At-Tirmidhi, and At-Tirmidhi, he has declared it to be hasan, yani authentic. And is the narration of Anas ibn Malik and radiyallahu anhu that he heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that Allah azza wa jal, he said, O son of Adam, verily if you come to me with the earth full of sins and then you meet me without associating any partners with me whatsoever, then I will come to you with the earth full of forgiveness. With the same likewise, they're full of forgiveness. Full of forgiveness. So we see the virtue of La ilaha illallah, and that the one who makes this statement sincerely, that it will outweigh, and the statement and the value of La ilaha illallah, meaning the one who brings its rights and fulfills its conditions, and he fulfills the requirements and its standing upon its pillars, the statement La ilaha illallah, then in the scale it will outweigh the heavens and the earth and everything therein. And everything therein. So we see that Musa, what did he ask? He asked for Allah Azza wa Jal. He said, Ya Rabbi, allimni shay'an. Teach me something. أَذْكُرُكَ وَأَدْعُكَ بِهِ, that I can mention you with, and I can make dhikr, and I can call on you with. And it's a dua. So we see that Allah Azza wa Jalla, He advised him to say, La ilaha illallah. So we see that the statement, La ilaha illallah, it is a dhikr, and it is dua. It is a dhikr, and the mentioning of Allah Azza wa Jalla and His praises. The mentioning of Allah Azza wa Jalla and praising Him, glorifying Him. This is a dhikr. But not only is it dhikr, simple praise, La ilaha illallah. When a person, he says, La ilaha illallah, this is praising Allah Azza wa Jalla. There's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. This is a mention and a praise, hamd wa thana, ala Allahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. But likewise, it's a supplication. And this is because the one who is saying the statement, La ilaha illallah, he's hoping for the reward. He's hoping for the reward, and he's desiring the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he knows the great reward of the one who makes that statement sincerely and truthfully, with certainty, that he has the promise of Allah Azza wa Jalla to be in the paradise, and he has the promise of Allah Azza wa Jalla for his pleasure. So the one who makes that statement, he is making the mention and the praise of Allah Azza wa Jalla with his tongue, and likewise his heart is hoping for the reward and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala along with that. So we see that this statement, La ilaha illallah, it is a dhikr and it is dua. It is a dhikr, it is a mention of the praise of Allah Azza wa Jalla, along with, it's a supplication. It's a supplication. The one who states it is hoping for the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see Musa, he said that, but all of your servants, they say that. Ya Rabbi kullu ibadika yaquluna hadha. All of your servants, they say that. So Musa, in one narration, it's mentioned that Musa, he wanted something, yakhussuhu bihi. That Musa, he was hoping for some special statement or some special dhikr or remembrance or supplication that would be specific for him. Specific for him. But we see that the great value of this statement, that this is something that is it's virtuous so great that it comes in abundance. That this is all of the people, they say it. And this is the case, the ulama, they mentioned that something that has great, great value and something that is very, very important. Like for example, from the affairs of the dunya, the things that are very, very important and that are from the greatest of necessity, we find that they come in abundance. As for the things that are not of that great importance and they're not of that great necessity, life is not based upon it. You have to have it to live. Then this thing, you might find it to be fewer. For example, no one can live without water. So we find that water is abundant. Likewise, salt is abundant. Likewise, salt and water, air, all these things, vegetables, it come in abundance everywhere for everybody together because it's a necessity and a dire need. So likewise, this statement is the greatest statement, the most important statement, and it is of the greatest of necessities. So we see that it comes in abundance and that it is available and it is ready for all and not just for those special individuals. As for like diamonds and gold and the likes like this, then we find that it is fewer. And we find that these precious elements and the likes like this, some other things that are not to that degree of necessity for life to be established, then it will be fewer. But the statement, La ilaha illallah, is the greatest of necessities. And it's the greatest statement. So then it comes in abundance. And there's nothing better that one can say than this. So whenever Musa alayhi salam, he was hoping for something that is specific to him, Allah Azza wa Jalla, he taught him the value of this statement. And that, Musa, if this statement was in one side of the scale and the heavens and the earth altogether and everything inside of them was in the other side of the scale, وَعَمِرَهُنَّ غَيْرِي, the seven heavens and the inhabitants of the heavens. And we know that the inhabitants of the heavens, they are the angels. They are the angels. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentioned غَيْرِي, other than me. This is an indication because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is fil ulu, He is in the heights and he is above the heavens. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified here that what is intended is are the angels and the inhabitants of the heavens. As for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is separate from the heavens. Whether the heavens, they have an end, and they end at the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and above that, the above that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is separate from His creation. Allah is separate from His creation. But in any case, if the heavens and all of that is in that, yani the heavens of the dunya, and all of the angels and the inhabitants of these heavens, the seven heavens, and likewise the seven earths, were in one side of the scale, and that statement, La ilaha illallah, was in the other side of the scale, we would see that this statement would outweigh the heavens and the earth. We would see that that statement would outweigh the heavens and the earth. But we have to understand that we go back to the understanding that we just mentioned, and that is that we see many of the people, actually many of the people, they make this statement day and night, in the morning and in the evening time, but their statement does not weigh that weight. Their statement does not have that weight, does not have that value. So this statement, for that statement to have that weight, to be heavier than the heavens and the earth, and to have that great thiqal in the scale, and to be strong and heavy in the scale, that's for the one who said it and he met his conditions and requirements. That is the one who said it and he knows what it means. That is for the one who said it and he knows what it necessitates. That is the one who said it and he strived to fulfill the rights of that statement. That is for the one who made that statement with his tongue and believed it in his heart, and he strived to comply to that statement. And he did not refuse anything that is necessitated by that statement. Did he not prefer anything that is contrary to that statement? He said that statement with truthfulness and with sincerity, knowing the meaning. And then he applied that. This is the one that this statement will be heavy for him in his scales. As for the one who said that statement with his tongue, and then he conflicted with that in his actions. He made that statement with his tongue, La ilaha illallah, and then he called on a human being, or he went to the grave and he slaughtered for the grave. The statement would not benefit him whatsoever. It would not benefit him whatsoever, even if he said it over and over and over and over and over, and then he worshipped and he called on a creation besides Allah Azza wa Jal. It would not have that weight for him. Likewise, the one who made that statement, he made that statement, La ilaha illallah, that this is its reality, that it is heavier than the heavens and the earth, but he did not bring its requirements. He brought the basic requirement, but he did not fulfill the conditions. He knows the meaning, but he gave preference to his whims or desires. He gave preference to his family in disobedience to Allah. Obeyed the creation in disobedience to Allah Azza wa Jalla upon knowledge, and preferring what the people prefer over what Allah Azza wa Jalla prefers, or preferring what his desires prefer over what Allah Azza wa Jalla has legislated and commanded, or over what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has legislated and commanded. This person, he will find that his shahada is not that heavy for him. He has weakened his shahada. The shahada, possibly in the beginning, a person makes that statement upon truthfulness and sincerity, upon knowledge and certainty. And then that statement is strong and it is heavy. And the one who says it sincerely and truthfully, at that time, this necessitates for him to make tawbah. The one who truly says, La ilaha illallah, in the manner that is required, in the manner that is required upon true understanding of the meaning and of the conditions, understanding of the meaning, ithbatin, nafyan wa ithbatin, negating an affirmation, and he brings it truthfully with certainty, and he strives to fulfill what is required by that, this necessitates for him to repent to Allah Azza wa Jal, sincerely, to feel bad for his sins and to leave them off entirely. This will necessitate for him to bring the sincere tawbah, and that he leave off the sins that he was upon before, and that he leaves off the transgression that he's upon before. The one who made that statement truthfully in this manner, it will wipe out his previous sins. The one who dies in this manner, he has the promise of the paradise without any punishment. As for the one who followed up that tawbah, and he followed up that statement, and he followed up that shahada with sins and with transgression, and then he died upon that, then this one, he has the threat of the fire, because he had weakened that statement. It will not be heavy in the scale like that. Many of the people, the ulama, they mentioned, in this condition here, they make that statement, La ilaha illallah, but they tainted that statement and they tainted their iman and they weakened their faith by sins and transgression. Most of the time, or the majority of the time, the ulama they mentioned, they'll be tried at the time of death. They'll be tried at the time of death. Yuftanu inda mawtihi. He will be tried at the time of death. He will not be able to say that statement because he was not living upon that statement. He will not be able to make that the last words that he has. Before he dies, he will call on something else, or he will wish for something else, or his last words will be something else, other than La ilaha illallah, something from the dunya, and the likes like this. So this is something that is very dangerous. A person, he should not take it lightly. He should not take his deen lightly. He should not take his iman lightly. Rather, this is the greatest blessing. This is the greatest blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the people, has given them iman, and given them tawheed. And this is the most valuable and the most delightful thing in this life, is to know Allah Azza wa Jal, and to know the Creator by His names and by His attributes. And this is Tawheed. And to know Allah Azza wa Jal by His Lordship and by His, and likewise by His command and His book and His command and His creation.
Allah lahu al-khalqu wal-amr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to know Him in this manner, to know Him from His signs in His creation, and from His signs even in our own selves, and from His signs in around us and in the trees. We see signs of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To know Him in this manner, this is the greatest blessing. This is the greatest blessing. To know Him and to know from this reflection and this pondering over His creation and pondering over His book, pondering over His words and pondering over His legislation, pondering over the biography of His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and realizing that He is worthy of worship, alone with no partners. This is the greatest blessing. This is a blessing that a believer, he must hold on to it. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favored him with that blessing, he will not take it and throw it behind his back. He will not take it and taint it and soil it with disobedience, with actions, with desires and whims. Rather, he will take it and he will keep it clean, and he will try to polish it, and he will try to make it grow and make it stronger, and to help it to grow and to be more beneficial and to be better. Keep it clean and keep it safe from any harm or any danger, making sure that nothing comes to it to taint it or to spoil it or to ruin it, or to even remove it. Na'udhu billah, he will hold on to that the best grip that he can have. Naam. فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى. The one who disbelieves in everything that's worshipped besides Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he believed in Allah, then he has grasped the strongest handhold. Yani the statement, La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. So we see that, yes, in the scales, the statement La ilaha illallah is heavy. But that's for the one who brings the conditions and the requirements, and he fulfills what it necessitates from the actions, along with the statement and the belief and the actions all together. At this time, that statement will be heavy for him in the scales. But as for the one who made that statement, but it's light in his heart, and that is apparent in his actions, then it'll be light likewise in his scale. And he will not be able to remove and to remove and wipe out all of those sins. Rather, there will be accountability for this individual. Nas'alullah al-afi wa salama. Nas'alullah al-afi wa salama. So then likewise, the narration of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, we see that that great companion Anas ibn Malik, that he met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam whenever he came to Medina, and he's 10 years old, and his mother presented him to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, Hada gulam yakhdimuk. This is a young boy, he's going to serve you. His mother gave him to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to serve him. So he spent the life of the Prophet in Medina sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anas ibn Malik spent that with him, serving him by his side and preparing for him his needs and learning from him and benefiting from him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he said that he heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that Allah says, what kind of hadith is this? Al-Qudsi. Naam, the holy, it's Al-Qudsi means holy, the pure hadith, yani because it is ascribed to Allah Azza wa Jal. The Prophet, he mentioned that Allah said, O son of Adam, this is a part of a hadith. O son of Adam, if you come to me with the earth full of sins, and then you meet me, La tushriku bi shay'an. La ataytuka bi qarabiha maghfira. And you do not associate any partners with me whatsoever, then I will come to you with the likes thereof, full of forgiveness. Shaykh Uthaymeen, he mentioned a great point with regards to this here, that we see in the statement, La yushriku bi shay'an. He does not associate anything with me whatsoever. Does not make any shirk with me whatsoever. The word shay'an, this is nakira. Ma mana nakira? Nakira? Ah? Nakira, indefinite. Remember, we have ma'rifa and nakira. This is nakira. This is indefinite. Shay'an. It does not. This is indefinite. This word is indefinite. It comes in the context of negation. So this means that it's general, including major shirk and minor shirk. Whoever meets me and he does not associate any partners with me whatsoever, then I will come to him with the likes of their forgiveness. Shaykh Uthaymeen, he mentioned about this, that this is nakira fi siyaq an-nafi tufidu al-umum. Ay la shirkan asghara wa la akbar. Wa hadha qaydun azimun qad yatahawanu bihi al-insan. He said, meaning that, you know, not making any shirk with me whatsoever. That's what the narration means. That the one whoever meets me, he does not make any shirk with me whatsoever. Shaykh Uthaymeen, he said, meaning no shirk akbar and no shirk asghar. He said, this is a great, great condition. Some people, they might take it lightly. He says, يقول أنا غير مشرك. هو لا يدري. He says, no, I'm not a mushrik. I don't worship besides Allah. But he does not know. He does not know, thinking that he's going to have the virtue of this narration. He's going to apply it. But in reality, he has made some type of shirk. Maybe not major shirk. Maybe he did not worship along with Allah Azza wa Jal another deity. Or he did not give the right entirely of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah's entire right to another, something from the creation. But he did make shirk asgar. That he does not have this virtue. He does not have this virtue. He's not safe from the threat of the fire. He said, maybe somebody who would take this lightly. And he said, I'm not a mushrik. I'm not a polytheist. I don't worship along with Allah Azza wa Jal other deities. But he does not know. فَيُحِبُّ الْمَالَ مَثَلًا بِحَيْثُ يُلْهِي أَنْ طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ مِنْ وَهَذَا مِنَ الْإِشْرَاكِ بِاللَّهِ. He said, for example, he will love wealth. The one he doesn't know. He says, I don't make shirk. I'm not a mushrik. But he doesn't know. Maybe he loves wealth, for example, to the extent that it preoccupies him from the obedience of Allah. He loves wealth to the extent that he leaves off an obligation. Because of his love for wealth, he leaves off the obligatory salat. Because of his love for wealth, he leaves off the obligatory fasting. Because of his love for his wealth, he takes it in any manner. Huh? Leaving off the falling into the prohibitions, apparently, and without any shame or without any shyness in front of Allah Azza wa Jal. And his love for wealth caused him to do this. And he said, this is a type of shirk. This is a type of shirk. Because he has given the preference of his desires over what Allah has commanded. So this here is a type of shirk. Although it is not major shirk, it is a type of shirk. Allah Azza wa Jal, he sent his messenger. What did he say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one narration? He said, ta'isa abdu dinar. Ta'isa abdu dirham. Dirham. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, perish the slave of the dinar. May the slave of the dirham perish. He called him abd. Ta'isa abd. The slave, abdu al-dinar, yani the dollar, the money. And he said, ta'isa, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Bukhari. Sahih Bukhari said, ta'isa abdu al-khamisa. May the slave of the garment perish. Yani he's a slave to the dunya. He's a slave to the dunya, meaning that he has given preference over his love for this wealth and the love of the dunya over the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal, over the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the Prophet called him a slave of that thing. Called him a slave of that thing. A slave of the dinar. The dinar is a type of currency. The slave of the dirham. The dirham is a type of currency. In this day we would say, the slave of the dollar. The slave of wealth. The one who is enslaved to these things. He's enslaved to these things. His soul is attached to them until they drive him. Until they drive him and they're leading him without any looks into the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal. This person here, he has committed a type of shirk. He has committed a type of shirk. Even though it may be lesser than shirk, but here this narration, ثُمَ لَقِيَنِي لَا يُشْرِكُ بِي شَيْئًا. Then he met me and did not associate any partners with me whatsoever. So a believer, he will not take his deen lightly, and he will not take the commandments of Allah lightly, and he will not just think that it's that simple, that he will say, La ilaha illallah, like this, and he's all good. And then he will live upon his desires and upon his whims, and then at the end of, right before he dies, he says, okay, the angel's coming, khalas, La ilaha illallah. And then he'll be quiet, and then he'll enter paradise, thinking that like this. This is not the correct understanding. This is not the correct understanding. Plus, a person doesn't know when he will die. Especially in these days, we see because of the days that we live in, we have different types of vehicles and the lights like this. And many of the people, they die suddenly in accidents or in wrecks and the likes like this. People don't always just die on their bed or just die in the hospital or they're leading up to their death. Some people, they die suddenly, sudden death. A person, he doesn't know, would he have time to say, La ilaha illallah? What would the case or his outcome be? But a believer, he strives to please Allah Azza wa Jalla, fulfill that right, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, and hope for the pleasure of Allah, and hope for His mercy. And in this manner, he will strive. And he will strive to be upon the correct way and the correct deen. And we close with that. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta.